Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the 2017 Home Education Conference, held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Okay, so what do you do the first week? Louisa gave you some good ideas on what to do about the things that you know, your layers. But let's talk about what you would do for school for the first week. First of all, you're going to lower your expectations. If you're like me, when I first started, I thought, well, this will be the opportunity for my kids to learn two languages, and they'll be able to play the violin perfectly, and they'll be able to do all these amazing things because we'll have time, we'll be at home, and we'll be able to do all this stuff. Didn't quite work out that way. But if you lower your expectations, then you're able to handle the changes that are coming in your life through homeschooling. And if you set your goals too high, you're not going to be able to achieve them, and it's going to be really frustrating for you and for your kids. The next thing you need to do is set a realistic realistic schedule. As Louisa was saying, you don't start your school at 8 o'clock in the morning and expect your kids to do it all day long and still be able to get all the other things that you need to get done. Okay, so you need to set a realistic schedule so that the things that you're doing in your homeschool are actually what you and your kids enjoy doing. Okay, so the next thing that you need to do is, how many of you are pulling kids out of school? Okay, there's going to be a detox time that is very important that you do, because otherwise your kids are going to go, well, this doesn't look anything like what I'm used to be doing. This doesn't look like school, and it shouldn't look like school. So you're going to need some detox time, some time to be able to set your own schedules, and sometimes that means that you just do lots of reading. Okay, so part of your detox should be spending time with your kids, reestablishing a relationship with them, and making sure that you build in the systems that you want in your homeschool before you start schooling, just like Louisa said earlier. So what do you do the first month? The first month, you're going to get a library card if you don't already have one. And you're going to go to the library and you're going to let your kids check out anything they want. And you're going to study whatever it is they want so that they can, especially if you're pulling your kids out of school, then they can relearn the love of learning and learning at their own pace and in their own way. And the library is a great place to do that. So you're going to get that library card. And the best thing that you can do is just let your kids choose what it is that they want to learn. And at first, they may be, well, I don't know what I want to learn. But taking them to the library often will allow them to be able to explore the library in a way that they haven't been able to in the past. Then you're going to discover all the fun places in your area that you can go with your kids. That can be the park. That can be that funky little, what are they called? Historical markers on the side of the road that you never stop and see, find out what they are. Stop there. All the places that you would find, that you would want to go with your kids for fun. Because what you're trying to do is build relationships. And when you do fun and interesting things with your children, you're going to build those relationships. The next thing you're going to want to do is make a list of the books that you want to read your kids, all the books that you have not had time to read to your kids. There's great places to find book lists. One of them is on ambleside.com. The TG Ed website has a book list. There's lots of book lists out there, and you just have to explore those and find out. Are you looking for? Okay, so what do you do the first month? Okay, so we didn't know we were making memories. We just knew we were having fun. And that's what your kids are going to remember. Their education as a homeschooler is going to be tied to the things that they're doing. And if you choose fun things to do, then that will tie in and develop not only family relationships, but it will also tie in their learning. So what do you do the first year? You discover your homeschool philosophy. There are lots of philosophies out there. There's classes on the audio library that you can listen to about different philosophies of homeschooling. But you don't want to know that before you start school, your first year, because somebody will tell you, oh, this is the best way and the only way to homeschool. But then you try it with your children and it doesn't always work because your children are different than the person who told you this great way to homeschool. But if you read through all of them, they're going to resonate and you're going to find one that you feel comfortable with. It's probably the way that you learn, and that's why it resonates with you. But you'll discover that over time, you'll become eclectic. So you'll take a little bit of this philosophy and a little bit of that philosophy and mix them together in a way that works best for your family. So if you choose one and you buy all this curriculum for it, then you may be disappointed. But if you take your time and not only study what your children are doing, but also what you feel comfortable with, if you do not like the method of homeschooling that you choose, it isn't going to happen. So you choose one that you're comfortable with. You also need to discover your energy level for homeschooling. I have a very high energy level, and so I do a lot of stuff that my friend, who we've pretty much homeschooled together over the years, she doesn't have the same energy level that I do. But that doesn't mean that her homeschooling, that she should copy my homeschooling or that I should copy her homeschooling. I have a bunch of high energy kids. She has a bunch of low energy kids. And so the method of homeschooling that she chooses is going to look different than mine because her kids are slower and more methodical, and mine are, okay, we'll run into this wall how many times until we realize, oh, that wall is there. The next thing that you're going to want to do is discover the learning styles of your children. Some kids are really hands-on and they only learn through hands-on. Other kids are very auditory, so you can tell them their lessons and they will learn it just from listening to it. And then others are visual, where they have to see it in order to learn it. And some kids are a combination of that. That doesn't mean that you should only teach to your child's learning style, but it means that the things that they struggle with most should be taught in that method. And there's lots of books out there to help you out with that. But it's very important that you understand the learning styles so that when you pick your homeschool philosophy, it meshes. The next thing you need to do is discover your level and your children's level of homebodiness. One of the mistakes that I see beginning homeschoolers do is that they look at all the opportunities out there and they're just go, go, go. Well, we're in three co-ops and we go on field trips, three times a month, and my kids are involved in sports and my kids are involved in this, and they are never home. If you have a high energy family, that may work for you. But if you're a low energy family, that is not going to work for you and you're going to burn out. So you need to define what that level is. Do you have kids who prefer to be home? Do you have kids that prefer to be out? You have to balance that out because most families have a mix of kids. Some kids really need to be out and some kids really need to be home, and you need to balance that. You need to balance it yourself. The next thing you need to do is, a comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. You need to discover where your comfort zone is. You need to discover it in all the activities that you decide for your kid to be involved in, for your homeschool philosophy, for your learning styles for your children. Sometimes you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone in order to be able to meet the needs of your kids. If you have a high-energy child and you're a low-energy mom, you're going to have to figure out where that comfort zone is. Where can you meet the needs of that child at the same time that that you are comfortable as well? So what are you trying to build? Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. One of the things that is a hallmark of being a homeschooler is that you have to be flexible because things are always changing. They change from day to day, from week to week, from year to year. But the most important thing that you're doing is you're building systems. You're building family systems. And Lisa talked about it this morning, but if you don't know how to get your laundry done and you don't know how your meals are going to function and you don't know how your chores are going to function with your children, nothing's going to work. And the number one, there's two reasons why the majority of people put their kids back in school. One is because they cannot handle the mess that is generated by having your kids home 24/7. And two, they don't deal with the parenting issues, and they assume that they're school issues, and they put their kids back in school. So you need to get these things worked out and figure out what your other responsibilities are. One of the ways that I solved this problem for my family is I school 4 days a week, and then I'm the mom the fifth day. That lets me get my laundry caught up and get meals in the freezer, and we do our doctor's appointments, visiting teaching appointments, all of that stuff on that fourth day. Sometimes it's on Friday, sometimes it's on Monday. It depends on what my kid's schedule is for the year. And when you get teenagers, it gets more complicated. But that helps me maintain my sanity, is to school 4 days and have one day off. Okay, what are you trying to build? You're trying to build a learning environment. That's the most important thing. It doesn't matter what curriculum you have. It doesn't matter what activities your kids do. If you're not creating a learning environment, then there's going to be a disconnect between what they're learning and what your home life is, and it will stress you out. But if everything is learning, then you need to decide, where will the learning take place? Is it going to be structured, where we have desks in a room and all of that? Or are the kids going to be lounging upside down on the couch while they do their schoolwork? Where is your flexibility? Where do they feel comfortable? I started out really rigid, and my kids now, you know, they float through the house doing their schoolwork wherever they happen to be, mostly wherever I am. But then my kids are older. My youngest is 11. And so where will the supplies be kept? Homeschooling generates mess because you have books and you have papers and you have pencils and you have art kits and you have all these things. Where are they going to be kept? They need to be organized so that you can find them when you need them and so the kids know where to put them away when they're done. What kind of messes can you tolerate? Are you going to allow your kids to explore and, you know, have exploding volcanoes and moldy things growing and all of that stuff? Or do you want to contain the mess and homeschool in a way that is, because some philosophies are very messy and some are very not messy. And so that needs to be taken into consideration. And then I realized adventures were the best way to learn. And then we just need to let our kids be kids. I was talking to somebody on my way to the conference, and we were talking about how hard it is for beginners to understand that homeschooling at its basis is you get to hang out with your kids all day, reading books and making messes with them and doing all the things you wanted to do when you were a kid and didn't get to. And that is having adventures like they are in that picture. Okay, so what are you trying to build? You're trying to build relationships. You're trying to build relationships with as a family, as individuals, siblings, so not only do you have peace in your family, but also because when your kids leave your home, you want them to be friends with each other. And that comes from doing things together. And that is something that you need to take into consideration when you plan your curriculum. Is this curriculum going to be something that each child is doing on their own level? Are we all going to do it together? How important is it that we keep everybody together to learn? Those are questions that you need to ask. So what are your expectations? There's a difference between excellence and perfection. We as LDS people focus too much on the perfection and not on the excellence. Excellence means that the child is doing the best they can at the level they are. There's a difference between that and perfection, because perfection assumes that you already have reached that level. And when children are learning, they start. There's an excellent talk that you need to read. It's a BYUI devotional called The Joy of Incompetence. And it talks about this principle. We are all incompetent at some point, but we don't allow our children to be incompetent. Incompetence means you are learning a skill. And as your children learn the skill, then they can develop excellence by working hard. But perfection means that you have already achieved that, and that puts too much pressure on kids and is not healthy for your relationship or their relationship.
What was the name of the talk?
It's called The Joy of Incompetence. So what are you trying to build? Look at that sweet face. Are you a builder or a destroyer? In other words, are you building your children's dreams or are you destroying them? And we do that as parents without even realizing it, because we tell them, oh, that will never happen. Oh, I want to be president of the United States. Oh, well, you know, you need to lower your expectations because, you know, that really requires, and you're not good at math. So that is not a conversation we should have. If our kids want to do something, we should encourage them to do that. I love this quote by Sister Grassley. She says, "We need to discover who our children really are. We need to know what interests them, what worries them, and what they would do if they had their fondest dreams come true." Nearly always, their fondest dreams are wonderful. We can let our children be our own selves and not expect them to be reproductions of their parents. Give them varied experiences so they can discover what interests them. Then encourage these interests and talents, even if they're not the same as yours. That is so hard to do as a parent, because we think we have this idea of what our children should be. So are we destroying their dreams, or are we building them? So what about your extended family? How does your extended family fit into your homeschool? Are they not happy with what you're deciding to do? Are they going to create a negative influence on your children? If that's the case, then you might want to limit the amount of time that you have with your family until they see how wonderful your children are, because you homeschool them now. Or are they 100% supportive? I'm a grandma now, and I support my kids who are homeschooling their kids. So the gifts I give them are always homeschooling gifts. Oh, look at this cool science kit. So if you have extended family that is encouraging and supports your desire to homeschool, then use them as resources and decide how best to incorporate them if they're willing. If they have a particular skill that they can mentor your kids in, that's awesome. And you can take advantage of that. If you have someone who's not very happy about you homeschooling, but they can mentor your child in something, then maybe that will help change their mind. But if they're going to be negative about it, then you might want to wait until their attitude changes. So in closing, I just want you to understand that as beginning homeschoolers, this is possible. It's fun. I had my kids, almost all my kids came to visit this past week for Mother's Day, and it was so awesome. One of the things that we don't talk about with homeschooling is going back to that picture. To see my kids all together, being the parents that I always hoped that they would be to my grandkids, is the most amazing thing ever. And to know that they have decided that they are going to homeschool their own children means I didn't mess up. And also that this is a successful way to educate your children, and it works, and your children can grow up to be normal and happy and successful. And it seems scary, and it's hard, and all of those things rolled into one, but so is parenting. So is having children anyway. And you are embarking on an opportunity that few parents are willing to sacrifice to do. And I applaud you for making that decision, and I wish you well.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.